Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Christine Marie.
This is Life with the Girlfriends, LWTG.
Yes.
If anybody out there is part of the LWTG community,
yes.
Raise your hand. Give us a shout out.
Be with our Life with the Girlfriends community. I love it. I have a lot on my mind today.
You do. You said, Mama, I got to do the show. I got to do the show. I got so much on my mind.
And this is the best hour of my week because I'm able to just, for 1 week, for 1 hour, hang out with you.
Yes.
Without, no drama.
Right.
We just talk about fun stuff. Right. Talk about the week because right. Life with the girlfriends, we're the girlfriends, and you're part of our girlfriend troop.
That's
out
right.
There listening.
That's right.
And what's your life like? And this week, I have been bombarded with a lot of stuff, man.
And you're ready to tell about it.
Well, it's interesting because I'm first going to talk about, like, I'm going to Canada shortly for a conference. It's a voice conference. It's a spiritual voice manifestation conference. I can't wait.
You're going to Quebec.
I'm going to Quebec.
That's different than Canada, girlfriend.
It really is. And so what's funny
you gotta,
is that
you got to speak French.
I've had some drama with making reservations about it.
Yes.
But what also has occurred is I've been now with law of attraction or with that reticula part of your brain, whatever that's part of your brain is called. Once you decide something, now you see it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so last night, 1 a.m, I'm up, can't sleep, turn on TV, because that's the right thing you should do for good health, for good health stuff, right?
That's what I said when we wrote that sleep book. Sleep your way to the top of the morning.
Use your TV. That'll help. That'll put you to sleep. And who happened to be on but Bourdain.
Anthony Bourdain.
And he was in Quebec.
Yeah.
He was in Montreal, which is where I'm going to be flying into.
Yes.
And so I'm like, well, hell, I have to listen to this. I have to watch this. Because I had already heard 12 hours earlier that some very interesting crime occurs in Canada. You know, there is like over 100,000 gallons of this thing stolen in Canada. Do you know what it was?
Probably.
What is it?
Maple syrup.
Close.
Oh, so I'm close?
Yes.
Oh.
Because that was one of the other crimes that occurred.
Oh.
Maple syrup's a big thing that people steal.
Yeah.
Like in big quantities, like worth $200 million, right. Something like that.
Right. That's just
big maple syrup. You know.
Yeah.
Glacier water. Because this guy uses the purest water in the world.
The glaciers are melting.
Yes.
So, let's get in on it.
So somehow these thieves found where it was, you know, being kept and like stole like 100,000 gallons of this glacier water.
Wow.
I know. Is that crazy?
And did they sell it for like $1 a gallon?
We have no idea. No one's been selling it.
Oh.
They're using it for end times. Both maple syrup and the water are being saved for end times.
That would be nice though. You know, what do you have? Oh, I got, you know, 50,000 gallons of maple syrup and
50,000 gallons of glacier water.
Done.
Yeah. I'm going to keep my, and then luckily I have 50,000 pounds of insulin because I'm going to need it.
I heard somebody say, I no longer use sugar. I use like stevia.
Yeah.
And he said, and then he goes, yeah. And now I just got artificial diabetes.
Touche. Yeah, because it's breaking news, girlfriend. Breaking news. We just found that Diet Coke is bad for you.
Yeah.
Diet soda. What the heck? I thought we heard that 20 years ago.
Yeah. I just saw a commercial for Diet Strawberry Coke in a can.
Yeah.
And it was all about have your Diet Strawberry Coke for breakfast. It's called a power breakfast.
Right. Oh.
That was from
Power. Coke. I like it.
Yeah.
Are you a power bottom or a power top?
Yeah.
You know, top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning.
Exactly. So I find that very interesting, though, that, you know, the two biggest crimes were water and maple syrup.
Not the fact that they import comedians here to the States.
Yeah.
That's not a crime.
Yeah, exactly. They take our jobs.
Who's the guy that does the...
They're stealing our jobs.
Because, you know, who's the guy that, like, shag you?
Yeah. You know, Austin Powers.
Austin Powers, yeah. That dude. Yeah. Michael Myers.
Is he Canadian?
He's Canadian.
There you go. So,
I don't know who else is Canadian. Michael Bublé is Canadian.
Is he Canadian?
I think so. And who else is Canadian? That dead guy, he was...
There's a lot of them. A lot of dead guys out there.
He died playing hockey.
Mm.
But he lived in the States.
Okay.
Oh, what's his name? His son is a singer.
Oh, yeah. I know you're talking about. Yeah. Thick of the Night.
Yeah.
Alan Thicke.
Yeah. He's Canadian.
Yeah. And they're stealing our jobs.
They come into America.
They steal our jobs.
Those immigrants.
Mexico, you know, American border? No. Canadian-American border.
That's right.
That's the border. That's the border all we need.
That's it.
No. So here we are. I'm watching Anthony Bourdain. And I'm just like, oh, Montreal. I've got to go because I've been to Canada before. Mm-hmm. But I went in the early 90s or mid-90s. Early 90s, I think. No, mid-90s. I don't know. Maybe late 90s.
It doesn't matter.
Thank you for helping me move on.
We do not care.
To Alberta, and I went to the Canadian Rockies mm-hmm. and Banff. But during this time, there was some news going on about how Quebec wanted to leave Canada, mm-hmm. English-speaking Canada, mm-hmm. and there was going to be a vote on it. Mm-hmm. And the vote was they weren't going to succeed or succeed.
Kind of like how Texas does that from time to time.
Yeah, from time to time. Like, hey, yeah. we're just
not part of America. We don't speak American.
Yeah.
We speak our own language
down
here.
And Texas, do you realize that you're being bombarded by tech people who no longer want to pay taxes in Canada or California?
Yeah.
So let me tell you one thing, Texas. In about 10-15 years from now, you're going to be California.
Yeah, you're going to be, you know, just remember Weird Austin.
Yeah.
We'll grow.
And be happy. And then you'll have free health care for everybody. And I mean everybody, people. So yeah.
What was that?
I don't
and
know.
And I mean everybody. Tell me what that meant.
Because free healthcare also means like free, like, oh, okay. Because like my friend who came back from Oregon, from Portland, mm-hmm. the one thing she was upset with is that Illinois does have Obamacare and does also have healthcare for people who can't afford Obamacare. Mm-hmm. But the one thing they don't pay for is they don't pay for transgender surgeries. Mm-hmm. But I was under the impression, she told me, that in Oregon, they do pay for that.
Oh, okay.
It's all part of
their healthcare.
Their healthcare plan.
Got it.
So, and I'm like, oh, well, that's what I meant.
That's what you meant.
That's
okay.
What
now
I meant.
You clarified. For all people.
For
everybody, people.
Which, because I know it's such a Christian hub down there.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting.
That's going to be interesting.
I just find it interesting.
When worlds collide.
Yeah. When worlds collide.
That's from Duran Duran. No. There's a song from.
Is it?
It's a song.
Is it? I don't think it's a Duran Duran song.
No.
But Duran Duran sounds like it's a fight between.
Alexa.
Gosh.
Why? The song When Worlds
Why are
collide?
We doing this?
I'm sorry, girlfriend.
Yeah.
She won't know anyway.
Maybe the skill, the SpongeBob challenge, can help.
No.
Want to try it?
No, thank you.
Stop.
No.
Alexa, stop.
No,
no SpongeBob challenge, please.
Yeah. I'm sorry. But
okay, so anyway, I'm back to looking at this Anthony Bourdain.
Yes.
And so I got some different kind of restaurants that I might want to go see when I'm in, Montreal.
Yeah.
And what I love about it, it's like there's one restaurant that's really famous. It's called La Continental, but it's a French word, you know.
La Continental.
Yeah.
You have to say it real fast, though. La Continental.
And no last syllable.
No, La Continental.
Oh, like the Continental. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But they make the old-fashioned stuff, like shrimp cocktail.
Beef bouillon.
Yes, exactly. Yes, real.
I know, the old-fashioned. The stuff 50s stuff.
Yeah, the stuff you wouldn't find.
They have
anyplace.
A cigarette girl.
And Anthony's like, and it's not deconstructed either. It's like the real thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, and these people are, and the staff was properly trained.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, that'd be kind of fun to go
there.
And it wasn't very busy at that moment. I'm thinking, because it's not good enough for the hipsters. And then he went to another restaurant. And it was all hipsters and making it out of literally looked like a house. And they all had just electric burners.
Yeah.
These three 20-something-year-old dudes with, you know, buns in their hair and beards and, you know, making all this, you know, fantastic food quickly and just growing like crazy, you know. And not staff is not a – or being waited on is not a big thing. You wait for them.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, no, you
– Tables are turned big.
You'll get it when it's done.
Yeah. You'll get it when this burner heats up enough.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's kind of like how I eat anyway, so that's not like my idea of
going out. Well, and it's funny because I know the difference between a great chef and like me. And every scene I've always seen with a great chef, they are cooking meat or veggies or something, and they have their pan tilted just like a 15 degree angle so that the juices go to the corner, and then they just continually just put juice over everything again while it cooks. Cooking. And then also, they don't finish cooking things on the plate. It always ends up cooking the rest of the way in an oven.
Right.
Which I think is interesting. Great. That's not what I do, because I'm just like, really? I got to heat my oven up too.
And also, they're kind of always mean to people. The real chefs are too.
Yes. They think their stuff doesn't stink.
I am.
Stink.
You are. I am not a sous chef.
Yes. So you. So you.
But I am the head chef in a Montreal restaurant.
Exactly.
The Continental.
It was kind of cute because Anthony Bourdain went there. God rest in peace, Anthony Bourdain. He went there in the weary time, and he was saying stuff like, oh, these Quebecians, I don't know if that's the right phrase, but I'm calling them Quebecians. They're hearty people, and they're not afraid. You know, it's 10 below all the time. Lots of snow forever, but it looked beautiful. And he goes, it's one of the oldest European countries in the world. And I thought one of the oldest European cities in the world.
Right, right.
Because it was started in 1610 or something like that. So it's, I mean, I'm going, I can't wait to go there because here I am going to get a taste of Europe.
Yeah.
In this whole thing.
Old world Europe, too.
And, well, I'm going to Canada.
Yeah. I go that. And I see you there walking down a cobblestone street.
There are several of them, I'm thinking. Yeah. Little, and there's a couple of different restaurants I want to go to. And and there was this one dessert, which I went like, oh, it looks like it's
a maple syrup dessert?
No, it's not maple syrup. It's a French. Listen, they hold on to their French culture like nobody's
like
business.
Like an eclair.
This was a layered dessert, and it was layered very small. The layers were perfect, and it was like a chocolate ganache on top, and in between was like a cream pastry filling,
like a Napoleon,
more like a
Napoleon, French,
tiramisu, Bonaparte. but it had almond filling, like an almond cake.
Sure.
It looked beautiful, and they sliced it very, very thin, and Tony's like. And they're like, oh, this is so delicious. So delicious. And what I loved about it, though, everybody was kind of just natural and casual. Nothing was pretentious. Didn't feel pretentious. And they loved the trains. Like, it was, they reminisce about how train travel was so romantic.
It was so
romantic.
Awesome, yes.
And, you know, it was sweet. So I'm getting all jazzed for this.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to it. But I also got a little bit of the history behind it. Like back in the day when French had a big, strong grasp on this part of the world, guess who came over? The Brits.
No.
And the Brits wanted part of it, but they were able to hold on to Quebec and keep it.
Good for them.
And that's why it's important for Quebec to hold on to their French culture.
Yes.
Because it should have been all French speaking.
Yes.
But instead, the Brits came over. Mm-hmm. There was struggle. There were battles, stuff like that. But they were able to hold on to Quebec.
The British Empire.
And then they've had some problems. Like they felt pushed out. Like that they felt their culture being pushed out through the course of the, you know, the years being Canadians and so forth. And then finally in the 1990s, 2000s, they embraced it more. And now it's like rules that in Quebec, it is a law that you must have signage be in French. Everything is French.
French first.
French first. French first, people. Yes. French first.
Yes.
There's some squabbles here and there in
so it's kind of like, but it's kind of like M Q F A.
Yes.
M Q F A. Make Quebec French again.
Yes. Keep it French. Keep it.
No.
Make Quebec French forever.
Oh. M Q F F.
Yes.
We have to get those hats.
Those hats.
M Q F F.
Make Quebec French forever.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward to it. I've got to start my Babbel lessons because I don't want to feel totally naked. Like, I can't even say hello.
Yeah, you know
bonjour.
How to say bonjour.
Merci. That's thank you.
Yes, that's
bonjour.
Right.
Merci. Merci beaucoup. Is that thank you very much?
Comment allez-vous?
Comment allez-vous? Comment allez-vous? Is that French?
Yeah.
Do you speak French?
Yes.
But
how are you?
Oh, how are you? So
très bien.
Très bien. Thank you.
Merci.
Merci. Merci. Yes. Thank you. Très bien.
Very good. Merci. Oh, thank you.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So I want to.
We're okay.
I need about 15 to 20 words, I think.
I would say a little more now.
Maybe 100 would be lovely.
100 would be awesome.
And it's so
funny.
One
would have to be turlet.
I'm going to this lovely place in Quebec that's run by the government. Mm-hmm. So therefore.
Socialism.
Therefore, when I call to make reservations, it's all in French. It's all in, and no, there's no like a secondary, like, hey, speak English, press one. You know. Lee, you know, sometimes when you call, you know, from the United States.
You're the only person I know that you got your brother.
Yes.
And you three-wayed him in and said,
please.
Because he had to learn French to get a woman.
Yes.
He knew the right way to get a woman. He had to speak French. Take her to the Eiffel Tower.
Propose.
Yeah.
Play guitar. Learn guitar. Yeah. You know.
Look like Tom Cruise.
Yes. He did everything right. You know, years in the making. You know, years in the
and
making.
Then here we come.
Yeah.
And so, life of the girlfriend.
Exactly. And so that was difficult.
You three-wayed him in.
And then.
And it said press zero.
It said press zero. And then finally this pressing zero got me to another place that finally said.
Comment allez-vous leave a message?
Yes. And I'm like, I'll leave a message. Yeah. I'm like, I got that. And then beep. I said, please talk to me in English. And so they called back with a French accent, talking to me in English. But I felt very continental.
Yes.
That's why I want to eat at the Continental.
Yes.
La Continental. And then, so then I went and tried to get my airfare. Got the right airfare. Except that after dealing with it, it says, please make sure that your government...
After
documents
everything is complete.
Well, it's at the beginning.
And done.
Make sure your government documents match your ticket because it needs to match perfectly. So I pulled out my driver's license. It's a government document. And so I pulled out and it says, oh, Julie M. Peters. Get my ticket ready, get everything perfect, paid for it. And at the end, I'm going, oh, son of a passport.
Maybe my passport is a government document.
Maybe that's what they're talking about. And then I might actually have to look and see what my name is on my passport.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Julie M. Peters.
No.
It was my whole middle name.
Julie
Marie. And then so I called Priceline up and I said, hey, what do you want me to do? Cancel and rebook.
Yeah.
And I tried canceling several times online. I actually Googled, like, why can't I cancel online? If I talk to them, they're going to charge me $15. Finally, getting close to the time.
Did you have to pay the 15?
I said, listen, I'm online right now. I'm hitting buttons. They're not moving me forward. They're like, we'll take care of it for nothing. I'm like, thank you.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm hitting cancel. It doesn't progress.
What's wrong with the computer these days?
So now
days?
I got to go back and buy it again. I said, should I buy it right now? He said, no, give it a little bit of time.
Give this more time, too.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. Oh. And I'm like, please don't let my tickets be gone by the time I do it. Mm-hmm. So it's been a very interesting worth the hassles for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. The obstacles are always there no matter what. May as well enjoy it.
I'm enjoying it. Yeah. I'm enjoying this process. I'm intending that I have a safe trip and that it won't be winter. It could be cool. I wouldn't mind being cold. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind having snow on the ground. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to be icy and snowing.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't
be bad though because... You supposedly that your room that you're in has a great big fireplace.
Yes.
And wouldn't that be kind of cool to have a big picture window, you know, having the snow come down, being in a roasty toasty fireplace in May, April.
In April. Yes, it would be roasty toasty.
Even we don't have it that bad.
No. And but I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. And I just can't wait.
What else is on your plate, girlfriend? You couldn't wait to get off your chest.
I've got tons of stuff. One is... This struggle between men and women.
No. No. Hold on. What?
There's a struggle between men and women?
Wait. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when Eve said to Adam, one little bite of an apple.
Good for you. We don't know how good we have it here.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Tell me how good I have it.
Oh, tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I want to tell you what I want. So... I'm listening to BBC, Millenite, getting my international news.
The Continental.
That's how I heard about Canadians loving to steal the glacier water and the
maple syrup.
Those are big commodities up there. But so I'm hearing, And this is big news to me, but we can't talk about it on CNN, I guess, because the truth is we need this country. You know what country I'm going to rag on right now?
Guatemala?
No, I have my problems with Guatemala, but that's not it. Saudi Arabia. There's an app available in Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. and people are asking Apple and Google to prevent this from going through. It's already been available for a long time, mm-hmm. but they want to stop it. And the app is, so in Saudi Arabia, you're not allowed to travel if you're a woman by yourself out of country without your brother or father with mm-hmm. you or husband with mm-hmm. you. But out of the country.
Got it.
But there's an app that your father can give you permission through the app, so they don't have to go to the airport with you mm-hmm. to give him permission and so forth. Mm-hmm. Now, which I think is just crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be an adult woman, being 30 years old, mm-hmm. let's say your husband passed away. Or let's say you're not married.
Maybe your husband got his head chopped off.
Yeah, who knows? Exactly. We don't know.
His body parts torn, little tiny
maybe
bits.
Maybe he put
in suitcases.
Maybe he didn't like the prince that well. I don't know. but let's say you weren't married for a variety of reasons.
Let's say you're a widow.
And then you have to, you can't even think about leaving the country, traveling. And so this one, so here is the dealio. They were interviewing this one woman. She sounded young, but her and her sister escaped. Her dad, they left Saudi Arabia to live in a different country, and they did it by, she was able to hack her dad's phone. Mm-hmm. She then was able, because what happens is the dad's phone would get a message every time a daughter would leave the country or leave the area, mm-hmm. did any kind of traveling, the father would be notified. Mm-hmm. And she's an adult woman. And so her and her sister are like, we got to get out of this place. This is crazy. We see, we have our smartphones. There are women out there in the world who are like making money for themselves, drive.
That their smartphones have more independence than we do.
Exactly. Like, I see what's going on. And then again, another story about a smartphone, like how the smartphone brought this one community, not happiness. Ethiopia. I got to talk about Ethiopia.
Oh,
first.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so they're interviewing this one woman who said she was able to get her father's smartphone, and she had all the notifications transferred to her smartphone, mm-hmm. and she was able to plug in using her father's phone permission for her and her sister to go travel. Mm-hmm. And so she got it all worked out, and she left Saudi Arabia and moved. They didn't say where to move, where mm-hmm. she moved to, because mm-hmm. now they're under protective.
Yeah.
She didn't say how she's making money either. She goes, I got an Amazon store. You know, I'm doing social media.
Netflix gave her a podcast.
Yeah, I can't.
A comedy special.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but now here's the dealio. There are people who are saying we have to stop these apps. These are apps that are meant to hold down women. I'm like, dude, no.
Saudi Arabia saying that?
Yeah, no.
Oh.
The rest of the world.
They
like,
are?
Saying these apps...
Hold down women?
They prevent women from traveling. That's how they're supposed to be done.
Oh, I see.
Because the dads are...
I see.
But what really is going on...
They're hacking it.
They're able to hack it.
Yes.
And so don't get rid of the apps.
Right.
Because these women...
Right, I get it now.
...can hack it. Yeah. Their dads are probably 60, 70 years old.
Yeah.
And they're like...
Could care less.
And they don't know how to use a smartphone.
Yeah.
My dad still asks me how to turn the smartphone on. Fart smone. On. He's like...
For your dad, it is a fart smone.
For my dad, it's a fart smone. And so I'm like, oh my God. And so the unintended consequence would be all these women who can... Here's the rule. We knew how to hack it.
Yeah.
To make it to work to our advantage.
Yeah.
And now they're taking it away.
Yeah. That makes me sad.
Yeah. I'm like, keep it up because these women are figuring out a way.
Yeah.
And let's get rid of the rule completely, which is if you're an adult woman and you are able to travel because your male counterpart
can. Because they would lose almost every woman in that country.
That's true. They would have to step up, wouldn't they?
Wouldn't they have to step up their game?
Exactly. It's sort of like the story of the birds.
It is the story of the birds.
Did you hear about that story?
Yes.
So basically 3% of birds have penises. Mm-hmm. But
I'm telling you that this is true. And there are 186,000 species of birds.
There's a lot of species of birds out there.
Yeah, and only 3% have penises.
At one time, there were more birds with
penises.
They
all had penises.
They all had penises. So somehow...
Through evolution...
The penis disappeared on the birds.
Right.
And there are many theories out there.
Right.
But one theory is...
Well, first of all, can I say my theory?
What's your theory?
My first theory. Now, yeah. Until I found out the real theory. Mm-hmm. My first theory was that the penis was too heavy.
Yes.
To fly. And then that theory got... When they found like a duck whose penis was actually longer than his body. Mm. And he flew just as fast as the rest of them.
Yes.
So that theory got kind of knocked down.
I'm not saying this person's name right. Rasputin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was, I could tell you right now, like he was known to have a huge member.
Right.
I mean, huge, like right. Famous for it. Right? Right. And he could walk fine. So I just think that's not, I think you're right.
Isn't he like, don't they have his penis where they have Einstein's brain?
Yes. I don't know. I heard that to be true. I don't know if it's true or not. This could be a rumor. The Smithsonian. Yes. It's part of the Smithsonian.
Or what's that one? Madame Tussauds Museum.
Wax museum. The wax version.
Yeah.
The real version's in the Smithsonian.
The wax version is at...
Yeah.
It's Madame Tussauds.
Yes.
But the reality is I think Zach Baggins bought it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's haunted.
Every time he looks at it, he gets chills.
I look at it, I'm going, no way. I go,
I get chills.
I go, that thing alive would never come near me. I go, I don't care. You know, I prefer 1/4 of that, 1/10.
Yeah, but it probably had all syphilis and everything.
I'm sure. I mean, that's the reason why it was so big. I don't know.
Oh, most of it was a giant blister.
Something like that. I don't know if that's true
or not. Let's get back to the birds.
Okay. Okay, but then there's another theory out
yes.
there that through evolution, the female birds were just tired. They were just tired. They found the male members, the male's member to be too aggressive.
Too violent, too aggressive. Yeah,
hurt.
And they flew away from the men. The male birds that were too violent, too aggressive, and had too big of penises.
Yes.
And so consequently...
Evolution-wise,
they were losing out.
Yes.
And so the male birds said, hey, we still want to do this.
Yeah, we still need to...
Procreate.
Yeah. And so now they just have
Now
holes.
They have holes.
Yeah, and then when their two holes touch,
something happens
and boom.
Something happens.
Eggs are fertilized. Yeah. Yada yada.
Yeah, but
which is good to know because I literally thought this is because I'm a moron. And here's moron birds by the way. I thought it was done like fish, such as the females laid the eggs in the nest, and somehow the males would just fly over it and put
yeah.
the sperm on it.
Yeah,
that's not
that
how
makes
I,
sense.
Except there's a hard shell.
Yeah,
but I mean I just assume that something
that makes sense.
Yeah.
But no, they actually still have to bump organs.
Because we have chicken. I have an egg every day, and my egg is not fertilized.
Right.
I mean, my egg.
Because it looks so nauseating when it is.
Yeah, there's a little dot in there.
It's not that little.
No, you're like, ooh, what's that? And then I think our
I can't
farmer.
Even think about it right
our
now,
farmer just... father said, that's sperm. I'm like, stop. Stop. No, it's not. Because, well, it might be.
Yeah.
It might be. Mm-hmm. So, and then. You are telling me
yeah.
the story about something about these...
No, there's a bird. So as this evolution thing grows, there's this bird called the Bowery Bird. And they've got it down to...
Was there a movie called the Bowery Brothers?
Bowery Boys.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, the Bowery Birds have really taken it to a fine art. And what they've learned to do... is they build not just nests, but big structures, sometimes 3, 4, 5, 6 feet tall. And they know that, and they know that the female Bowery's prefer colors, and specifically the color blue. So a lot of times you'll find these big structures, and they'll be decorated with blue bottle caps, and somehow they find blue jewelry or anything blue, and it's all just ornate. And they have for the female, if she comes in there, inside of it, they have, there's 3 exits. So at any given time, the female can back out.
Okay.
And the front of it's the stage.
Got it.
And so the male Bowery birds learn to, this is through training, because at an early age, the males and females You can't really tell the difference. So but the males take up with the older Bowery birds, and the older Bowery birds treat them like females, so that they know how to, from an early age, treat, when they grow up, to treat a real female.
Right.
So so when they finally get a female bird inside their big structure, they plump up their chests really big, and they do a ventriloquism. They've learned how to not only do their warbles, but they can do like a cockatoo and all different kinds of things. And then they dance. They put their feathers and they dance and they run back and forth real quick doing these songs. And at any given time, like I said, that the female chooses to stay or she can back out. And this is a way that if she stays, she says, hey, I'm okay with this.
Right.
You gave me this big structure, all the color blues. You danced for me. You played the guitar. You sang.
Yeah.
I will stay. And, you know, and I think that this is what we should get back to.
Right.
If we ever were like that, instead of just, like, get her filled with some tequila shots.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, whatever.
Right.
I think men and women.
I love the idea that these birds know to create a safe space.
Yes.
And so, you know, do you think 500 years from now with evolution, men won't have penises? And every place will have a safe, have a home dwelling with many exits.
Kind of like Adam Carolla said, in 100 years, we're all going to be chicks.
Exactly. And you know what? There's something okay with that, right? I mean, maybe
no
less,
war.
Yeah, no war.
No less, rumors of war.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe rumors of wars. Oh, let's be real. Men are the biggest gossipers out there.
Oh, yeah.
They want to blame women for this. It is not true.
And not only that, but I was just watching a Kardashian, an old one, where Bruce has transitioned, and no real girl dresses like that. No real girl goes out with her hair all done up,
right?
Awful makeup, and
right.
I mean,
no girl from the Midwest.
No. I mean, if we go out, we make sure we have our, you know.
I make sure I'm not wearing my pajama pants. That's my level. I'm like, yeah, you know. Sometimes you'll go, Julie, could we just take it up a notch?
Yeah.
I go, what do you mean? I'm not wearing my pajama pants today. I thought that was our level. It's like, we may go into some place different than Walmart. I'm like, oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, I'll go put my nice jeans on, my nice belt. Yeah, I'll get a little bit dressy for you, Mama. I dress for my mama. That's how I dress.
Oh.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was talking about, I mentioned Ethiopia, and you mentioned Kardashians.
Right.
I was listening.
How are we going to put, Julie, Ethiopia and the Kardashians together?
It's going to be easy, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Well, I guess as a whole, Ethiopians are a very happy people.
One of the happiest races out there.
Yeah. There's a happy country, which is interesting because when I was growing up, we had Feed the World. There was a huge drought going on. And
yeah.
We, you know, so it's nice to see that it turned around.
but as a country, these people are happy.
There are some countries that
they study happiness.
Yes.
Some people study happiness. However, there's a fly in the ointment. There's a cockroach in the soup.
Ugh.
What is it?
There's a
The Kardashians have landed in Ethiopia via
their
smartphones.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Via smartphones, Kardashians have landed in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
And people are like, what? this is how people live?
People live like this?
And like, they should have a disclaimer.
Yeah.
You know, these are not actual people. These are Kardashians. They are a breed on their own. Do not expect to live anything like this. And then maybe, you know, like when you watch a car commercial.
Yeah.
And they said, please not attempt this.
Yeah.
This is a professional track, a professional driver.
When you watch a commercial for diarrhea or something.
Yes.
Now, this is not the actual person that has the diarrhea.
Yeah. No, it's not.
No.
It's not the actual person.
Yeah. Like, same thing with those dog commercials.
Yeah.
Where they're like in the cold and shivering.
Oh, you know, speaking of dog commercials, Subaru, I don't know how they did it. They have combined the love of dogs into every one of their commercials.
So smart.
And
so smart.
And they're all driving Subarus.
So smart.
All these golden retrievers.
I'm like, I gotta have me a Subaru.
I know. If we weren't Kia people.
Yeah.
Because really we're just like, hey, Kia. It's a Kia. That's who we are.
It's a Kia.
Hey, we're like the girlfriends. What more do you want? We are who we are.
Yeah.
No, Subaru is love. Subaru is puppies. Subaru is
doggies.
Doggies. Yeah. Love traveling, seeing the world.
Subaru is like handing down your Subaru to your
so we have
18-year-old son.
Yes, exactly. Because still on the road.
Still on the road.
So the auto show's been going on.
Subaru is being shown by a blind man the ocean.
Yes. What is that about? Was that really a Subaru or is that the Jeep commercial?
No, it's a Subaru.
Okay. Yeah. Which I find very fascinating. Yeah.
The kink. Yeah. Here, you can hear the eagle fly. Oh wait, here comes the whale.
It could.
I have Blindman's a shaman.
By the way, he's faking.
the person that you see in this commercial is not real.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, the Ethiopians are now becoming unhappy,
right?
Because they see this the way they live compared to the way the Kardashians live.
Yes,
and quite honestly, it makes me unhappy.
There are several times going, Julie, why couldn't you be more like Kylie? And I go,
so you're as smart as Kylie.
I go, okay, Mom, right. How come you couldn't be like more like Chris?
Yeah. I would like to have been a momager. I was prepared for it.
You were, but you weren't prepared to take it to the distance.
No.
Which is going out there, paving the pavement.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Get me a sex tape going.
Yeah.
You're like, Julie, I tried. There were no takers. I tried. Literally. And I'm like, oh, man. But
I had to do my own sex tape.
There you go. See, the problem with you is that you don't take criticism really well. And meaning, like, you would have been like, you don't want my daughter now?
Yeah.
My daughter is definitely good enough.
Yeah.
As is. She's like, no, we get a little tweaking here and there. And like, screw you then.
Yeah.
I don't need this stuff.
Yeah.
Not my daughter.
That's like when I took you and Greg to the Woodfield Mall when you were like 8 years old to try out for that movie.
Yeah.
What song did you guys sing?
To a Beach Boys song.
I bought you actually those denim jeans.
Yes.
To match.
Yes, you bought us over. I was wearing overalls.
Denim overalls.
Yes.
To match.
Yeah, that would be cute.
I thought that would be cute. Was it Surfing USA?
Yes, exactly.
So and they did not pick you, and I went, let's get the hell out of here.
Oh, you were not happy.
How could you not pick my children?
You were not. And we had to have headshots. And so what we did was in the back of our car, you just took Polaroids. I love it. And then they didn't pick us? Like, what?
Wait a minute.
What's wrong with these people? You don't know talent.
You'll never play in this town again.
Exactly. You don't know talent. And so I thought that was interesting.
Girlfriend.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
So I just wanted I have to say that the Kardashians don't make me feel that happy either. Mm-hmm. And yet I am propelled to watch them whenever they are my eye candy.
Are you propelled or compelled?
Compelled and propelled. Propelled forward. But or backwards.
It's
or
really just about empowering these women being empowered.
I love this.
I heard on Dan Savage this week that this poor woman was called because she and her boyfriend, they're not married, have been living together for quite a while.
Yeah.
And they share every expense right down the middle. And then he found out that she makes four times as much as he does. And he's like, and then she all of a sudden now feels guilty. She's wondering, should I be paying more a proportionate?
Right.
If I'm making four times as much, should I be paying four times, you know, like he would pay one-fourth the rent.
Right.
She would pay... I guess
three fourths.
It's like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Three-fourths the rent.
A percentage, whatever the percentage is.
Right, right.
Like, hey, 25% of your salary goes to our budget, right. 25% of my salary goes to our budget.
Yes.
That would be even.
Yes.
And I find it very interesting.
I think it's interesting, too, because like Dan goes, if you're married, you kind of just, in general, I don't know what other people do, but it all becomes one big pie.
Right. Dad's money is your money. Your money is dad's
exactly.
money.
Exactly.
Which is not true. Any money that you've made, you're like, it's in a safe. Like, this is my money. This is my FU money. And if I have to make a break for it, I'm making a break for it.
Well, we just were talking about flying the coop money.
And yeah.
What's funny, we were just like, I was remembering when I think you guys were like 2-1.
Yeah.
That I grabbed some laundry baskets and like left the house because I was like, had it.
Uh-huh.
And I went straight south, went to Branson, Missouri. And I from what I remember, my mom said that Norm Norm's mom called and said, oh, I think Chris Egan took the kids and flew the coop. You know, and I'm sure every woman that was raised in the 40s and 50s knew what that meant.
Yeah.
You know? And I was thinking about all the times then that I kind of wanted to fly the coop, right?
And get out and start new.
Yeah, and I can remember there was one time in Bolingbrook, my parents came to visit, and I go, would you mind if me and the kids kind of went home with you? And they, you're sticking this one out, kid.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you told me there was one time in Wooddale.
Well, it was funny because I was too young to remember the Branson trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you just threw us in the car with, mm-hmm. we probably were in baskets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here, yes. baby Greg, you're in this basket. Here, baby Julie, you're in this basket.
Just kind of like Moses.
Yeah, exactly. Just stay there while I drive in this non-seatbelted car. we'll make it to the Ozarks.
In a laundry basket.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, and like just, you know, I remember one time when you flew the coop without Greg and I.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just remember, it's funny what you remember, because I could tell you right now that I have a million and one positive memories. None speak out clearly to me, because mm-hmm. I just know I had a good childhood.
Right.
The few times that were kind of depressing or sad, they are ingrained in my brain forever, which is so bizarre.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
Yeah.
So, like, you guys never spanked us as kids.
Mm-mm.
But one time I got spanked by Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and then Greg got spanked also. And mm-hmm. only because we got in trouble because you told us we could jump on the hotel beds, but Dad didn't pay for us. So we got in trouble because Dad came back with pizza, and the hotel clerk's like, hey, do you get more than just one person in that room? Because the people below you are mad.
The ceiling's coming
down. And we come in, and you know, and Dad's like, now somebody's going to have to get spanked for this. And it wasn't Mama. Because that would have been right. But it was Greg and I.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not scarred by this, but I remember it.
Yeah.
And it's a funny story. But I do remember... You and Dad must have gotten into a big fight.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly it was probably the fact that I've got two young kids and I am like drowning here. You know,
I have two kids, no phone, no car.
This is the day it's cold in the house. When being broke didn't mean a TV in every room.
Right.
Being broke didn't mean a cell phone in every hand. Being broke nowadays doesn't mean you can get a lot of luxuries being broke nowadays.
Right.
And I remember we lived in a Ray's Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember seeing you take off, and Dad and me and Greg are all sitting on one of the steps going uh-huh. upstairs. We're uh-huh. just sitting there watching you drive away. like, what could happen now? Like, you know, and just being in shock, not knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Then about an hour or two later, you came back. And I think we're still sitting there on the steps. Like,
John's
gone.
Still in shock.
Still in shock. And you came back.
Yeah.
And
you know what I did during that time?
What?
I went to the show.
Can I tell you what I think you did?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think you saw Excalibur.
I did.
That was just like the weirdest movie in the world.
It was. I just went to the show.
By yourself.
You went to the show, sat in the very last row.
Yeah.
Watched this movie, Excalibur. And then I went to an arcade and I played Pac-Man. And uh-huh. I was like, oh, I don't, you know. And then I played Lady Pac-Man.
Uh-huh.
And I understood it because, like, you know, all those, like, guys are chasing Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah.
And I went, like, you should just stop, Mrs. Pac-Man. Just stop. Turn around and go, F you guys, stop.
Don't chase me around.
Just start nagging at him.
Yeah.
You should leave me alone. Leave me alone. Quit this. And they all stop in their tracks. Like, whoa, I understand that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then I came back home.
Yes. Okay. What was there a... Did you just need a break? Were you making a point? Were you really going to be gone? Or did you just need, like, what was the thought?
I'm like Elliot in those moments. I mean, like in the red zone.
Yeah.
I don't think anything beyond that.
Okay. And there's not a lot of red zones.
I can remember, when I went to Branson, I stayed at a hotel, like motel. And I can remember the lady going, you know, maybe you got those little kids. Maybe you should think about going back home, honey.
Yeah. You know, did your husband beat you? Is that why you ran away?
Yeah, no.
No, my husband didn't beat me.
No.
He hasn't beat you? Is he an alcoholic? Well, I mean, he has a beer once in a while. So he's not an alcoholic? So what's wrong with him, honey?
Because
I just need to get out. This is not the plan for me.
She doesn't.
I wanted to be Miss St. Louis. I'm a darling. I was popular.
But also, and it was more than that, because nobody understood that I had a gypsy in my soul.
Yes.
Nobody.
Literally, you needed to be possessed. You were depossessed.
I just needed to roam.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find that anywhere. I was always just, one of my biggest things now that I hate is I always say I hate waiting.
Yes. And it's interesting because you still have that roaming spirit.
Yeah.
But as we get older, it's like, I need a bigger camper or something. I gotta.
Exactly.
You know, the days of throwing the kids in the back of a Camaro with no seats and no seatbelts.
Yeah.
But I heard the story. I love the idea that Grandma Peters called Grandma D'Antoni.
Yeah.
And said,
which is not a great relationship.
Oh no, it was not.
That took courage.
They were not.
No,
they weren't mean to each other.
No, oh no,
they never back talked each other.
Oh no. Uh-uh.
The only thing that they said, the only thing that Grandma D'Antoni said that was kind of slight toward Grandma Peters, was that when we would go visit Grandma Peters, we would meet halfway,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of times she said, "I don't think this is halfway. I think this is much closer for Marie than it is for us." And that's the only thing she ever say.
Yeah. I can remember one time too that because Marie had a health food store and my mom would always like want some yogurt and Marie would make her pay for it. She's like, don't you think that she'd like just, you know, give it to me for free?
She's like, she's an entrepreneur.
She's a businesswoman.
She had a health food business in her basement, you know?
Like, well, also too, I can remember that you used to cry.
Oh, that was a problem.
Grandma Peter's house.
Yeah.
Like into Grandma D'Antoni's. I understood that.
Well, see, I was the first granddaughter. And also, Grandma Peters worked from home. You know, so we had all of her attention.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma D'Antoni worked out of the house. Mm-hmm. And when she came home, she came home like she was a working woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's been a hard day at work. Someone rub my feet. You know, let's have some hot dogs and some green beans and macaronis. And like, you know, let me watch my TV and everybody just leave me alone.
Leave me
alone.
I want a Manhattan.
I want to be left alone because it was a hard day.
Yeah.
But I did know that she loved working.
Yes.
She loved working.
100%.
So it was a different, you know, I did feel bad about that because I never would cry when I left her.
I understood that though. You do not cry when you leave that
home. Level of anxiety just in that town. There was just a free floating stress in that town that I was just more happy to get away.
Yeah.
And I love both my grandmas the same.
Yeah.
You know, and in some ways I had your mom 20 something years more than I had dad's mom. So
yeah, that's true.
We made up time for it.
It's true.
You know, we made up that relationship.
Yeah.
But interesting.
And this time you did cry when she left.
And this time I did cry when she left. Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom. Tears in my eyes. But I think it's interesting, though, because you don't. So somehow, did you leave a note where you were going, or who'd you tell that you were going? Because Normano found you.
Right. I might have called him from a payphone. I'm not sure.
You're just saying, hey, I'm just letting you know where I'm at.
Yeah.
Did you want him to come find you? Or
no, I didn't. I mean, I just really didn't know what was going on.
Were you squirreling away some money? Like a few money? Or?
Honestly, no. I mean,
because you wouldn't have got a credit
card. The
lady
from the hotel
was
the one that actually, why don't you call your husband?
Yeah.
At least let him know where.
Yeah.
I mean, she was nice.
Yeah.
She was nice to me. And I was like, oh, maybe I should listen to this. Maybe she's an angel in disguise.
You've had many of those.
Yes.
You're like, maybe down this road taken is not going to end the way I'm hoping.
And you can imagine, I'm sure it was hard for this woman, these motels down there. And here she's, you know, owns this. Who knows if she was a widow or whatever.
Right.
And she sees this 21-year-old girl come down with two laundry baskets of kids. And you're like, she's like,
what's
maybe
going on?
You should go back to where you came from. I'm like, no, I want to make it as a comic in Branson.
Yeah. This is pre-Branson.
Yeah.
This is not Branson
today.
Narco, or is it? No. What's that one show on Netflix?
I do not know what you're talking about.
Oh, gosh. You know.
With Branson.
Bateman, Jason
Bateman. Yeah.
Is it called Ozarks?
Yeah, Ozarks.
Called Ozarks.
Yes, exactly.
Could be called Narco, too. So, yeah.
No, it was raw.
It was raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pre. You could have made a steak there.
Yeah.
You could have been the girl that bought property and built on it.
I could have. Who knows what I could have done there. Yeah.
Had your own little comedy club there.
Yeah.
Doing your own comedy skits.
Yeah.
And in it, Mom, I want to tell you this right now. In a different universe, that's actually happening.
That's happening.
In a world of infinite universes, that scenario, that reality is occurring.
And I wasn't trying to get away from Normano.
No, I know. You would have loved for him to just drop everything and come with you.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't have been the path he chose. And now you're too tired to do it. You're just like, oh.
And you remember the time that we actually, the little ice cream shop in Boulder, this was in the 70s, and I had found this mom and pop, and they were getting ready to retire, and they just wanted to sell their little ice cream shop. They wanted to sell it to a couple just like they were.
Right.
And they had the building, and they lived upstairs, and they were willing, that they really wanted someone just like them,
it would have been a nice
40
life.
Years younger. Yeah. Right. And they were willing to stay and train and everything. And I had this all laid out. And I went, Norm, look, wouldn't this be awesome? We and you, we could have this little ice cream shop together. The kids could grow up in Boulder. They could ski and all this stuff. And it was like, nope. Got to do trucking.
Yep.
So it's like.
So he was able to give himself his own fix by being a trucker. He took care of his gypsy way.
Yeah.
And
he gets to leave all the time.
Yeah, he had to leave all the time.
Yeah.
And you started leaving with him, you know, during some. Yeah. And so you're like, well, this takes care of it a little bit, even though it was totally horrible for you. Well, because there's no airbags in the passenger seat.
That's what we were talking about. The days before that, the passengers had airbags.
Yeah.
That's how my back got ruined, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. Oh. It's very interesting. So, I think back and it's just
50 years later.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Not really.
No. This is why people can stay married forever, because it just feels like it's a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You really do live in the present moment, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
You just go, well, I don't know about 5 years from now, but the moment goes by pretty fast.
And you just kind of take things as they come.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, I guess it's kind of like, is it the frog in the pan of hot water, you know, you don't
good
you
or
know,
bad, right?
Yeah, that's what I meant, though. Yeah. You know, you're like you know, you take a little bit of this, and I can withstand that, and then and pretty much the water's boiling, and you're like, man, what am I going to do now?
It's so funny. Dad was talking about, he was into a podcast, Tim Ferriss. He goes, you know, I listened to a lot of Tim Ferriss lately, and I'm learning a lot. And he goes, what I've learned is, here's what I'm learning, is that you make a decision, and you know, there's luck that might happen, that usually luck happens to make that decision turn out to be okay.
Yeah.
He goes, you got to stay in long enough for that luck to happen to make it all okay. Or you stay too long in the game and then everything explodes. And I go, you can't win for lose. He goes, no, really? You're just meant to stay in it until luck happens or until it explodes.
Right.
One or the other. Yeah. And just stay in it. And then he said, and you were telling me that if you judge your results on the quality of your decision,
right,
you're going to be wrong.
Right.
Because your results have nothing to do with your decision-making process.
In general. Or like, for example, if you made a decision, it was a good decision, but your results were not what you wanted, and something comes along, and you go, oh, I would like to make this decision, but you remember
made a decision before and got really poor results.
Right. You may not make the right decision.
And I go, well, that's fascinating.
Based on the results.
Yeah. I go, because we talk about really all you want is results.
Right.
I don't even care the decision. It's the results I'm looking for.
I mean, we've got a course called the Results Course.
Yeah. But Tony Robbins would say, your results are not results. It's just the process.
Right.
You're not stopping until you get the results you want.
Yeah.
Which is the decision you've made. I've made a decision to be this. I ain't going to stop until then. Even though this morning we woke up and we were talking and you said, oh, Julie, are you ready to give up this dream? I go... I have it on my new vision board.
I know, it's what you said.
I go, I just put it on my new vision board. I go,
as if that's
I thought we don't give up our dreams until like we're dead. And she's like, oh, that's right. It's like faith. You said profoundly.
I said faith to the end.
Faith until the end.
Yeah.
Your dreams until the end.
Yeah.
go, yeah, you know what? That's the life I'm going to lead.
Right.
And I'm going
That's kind of depressing, but yeah.
I'm also going to stop watching so much Kardashian because I need to raise my happiness quotient. Unless I'm going to force them. I'm going to sue them saying, please put on your, you know.
Yeah, let's sue them.
Do not.
Let's sue the Kardashians.
Yeah, this is, you know, these are professionals. Do not try this lifestyle at home.
Yeah, you cannot do this at home.
You cannot do this at home. This is a billionaire family.
Yeah.
And so forth.
You've been wondering, I don't know how much time we have left, but you've been wondering about the Housewives of Beverly Hills and the dog story.
Oh, yes.
And
I really have no idea what this dog story is about.
Oh, but you said you heard that Lisa no longer talks to,
yes.
to what's the girl?
Dorit.
Dorit. Mm-hmm. And, but did you want to say something?
No, go for it. I'll say it after yours.
No, okay. And the reason is that Dorit got a dog from one of Lisa's no-kill pounds or something like that.
Okay.
You know? And then she found out later that because all her dogs are chipped, she found this dog in a kill shelter. And they called Lisa saying, are you sure you want this dog killed? And it was Dorit's dog.
Oh, geez.
And so come to find out, long story short, that Dorit said that the dog was a biter, bit her kids, bit her husband, and that they gave it away to a very good home.
Oh.
To a lady in a very good home, and they have no idea.
And what happened to that?
What happened to that? And you know what? I watched Chicago PD yesterday.
Yeah.
Early in the morning.
Yeah.
And they had that same episode, only with a kid.
Oh.
It's
a biter. There's a rule I could like. Get, I, go,
I don't
child.
Know what happened to it, but I gave it to a good home.
Yeah, good home.
I found it on the lakefront. I don't know.
I found this couple said they really wanted a child.
Yeah.
I said, fine.
You
let's broker
like good,
it out.
Exactly.
Let's just move it on.
And I don't know how else what happened.
Well, you know,
to
we
it.
Had the auto show this week, and where all these companies are showing off their cars, but the Subaru car they just had it was a. You could adopt puppies there. They
no,
had all these puppies there.
No,
and they
no,
had a
no.
selfie place where you take pictures with selfies
with
puppies.
With the puppies.
And Dorit should have just given her dog to Subaru.
Yes.
They would have found a good home for
oh
it.
Oh, my God.
They would have found a good home for it. So, Griffin, how was the show this week?
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.